We continue on our journey here this morning through those parables of what God's kingdom looks like, remembering that is the thing Jesus talked about more than anything else, God's kingdom, God's presence among us. And so we turn once again to that famous chapter in Matthew, Matthew 13, the 44th verse. Hear now these words of God. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a man who goes out to the field to plow. He takes his plow and he digs it into the ground and it stops. It hits something underneath. So he pulls the plow out of the ground and he begins to dig. And suddenly he finds it. Buried treasure. And upon finding that buried treasure, this man goes and reburies it. And then he runs to the bank and he says, "I want to sell everything that I have." Then he runs to the owners of that field and says, "How much? How much? How much for that rocky, barren, good-for-nothing piece of dirt?" Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to people like that. Now, if you're like me, after you first read that, you're left scratching your head a little bit. Seems a little dishonest there, doesn't it, Jesus? A little shady. I mean, isn't that what got Enron and WorldCom and all that trouble? Isn't that some of the ethical or unethical business behaviors that have led us to the current predicament our economy is in? And yet Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. He doesn't seem to be worried with some of the ethical questions that we might be with this, because I think what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God belongs to those who know how to go for it. Who know when they see a treasure that they got a plan or scheme or conspire to do everything they can to get a hold of it. Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to people like that. And maybe that's why when I was a kid, my favorite book was Treasure Island. Anyone ever read Treasure Island? Robert Louis Stevenson's book, Treasure Island. My grandparents had a copy of that book, and every summer that I'd go visit them, I'd read that book. Didn't matter if I read it the summer before, I'd read it the next summer, I'd read it cover to cover in a week's worth of time. I loved that book. And sure, I connected with Jim, the teenage character in the story, but most of all, my imagination was absolutely captivated by the adults in that story, by the grown-ups. By people who staked everything, who went for it, for a simple map scratched out on a piece of paper. They were nothing like the adults I knew in the rest of my life. Because the adults I knew played it safe. They got up every morning, they put their head down, they went to work, they came home, they got up and they did the same thing the next day, but not in Treasure Island. Not in Treasure Island. These adults lived exciting lives and died exciting deaths. It's like when Bridget and I first moved to Detroit. There was a lot of things on our mind, but putting our lives into full-time Christian service was not one of them. But it was in Detroit that we met nuns. We met Catholic nuns who actually snuck onto army bases to disarm nuclear warheads. And we met priests who took vacant lots in their neighborhoods and transformed them into urban farms so that they could feed their neighbors. We met people who ran soup kitchens and free clinics. We met followers of Jesus who worked for civil rights and rode buses under bomb threats in order to integrate schools. We met followers of Jesus who kept a bed open in their house in case anybody didn't have a place to sleep at night. We met Christians who used a week of their vacation to go to exotic places like El Salvador and Nicaragua, or to the Indian reservation in South Dakota, or to the foothills of Appalachia. And I remember early on in that experience of moving to Detroit and meeting followers of Jesus like that, we turned to each other and said, we had no idea that Christianity could be so much fun. So, how is it that Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is like those who know how to go for it, who know the treasure and bank their life on it. You see, one time I had this friend, he was an Episcopal priest, and he was going to buy a motorcycle. And he was standing there looking at the motorcycle, and the salesman said, "Oh, you want to get this baby right here. This baby goes from 0 to 80. 0 to 80 in 40 seconds. Man, once you're on the road with that, nobody will be able to touch you." And then the salesman said, "And what exactly it is that you do for a living?" And upon finding that my friend was clergy, he changed his sales pitch. Said, "Oh, that is the safest motorcycle you will ever be able to drive." It's true, isn't it? There's something about life that has this opportunity, this inevitability to go from adventure to predictability. One day you're young and you'll take the first bus ticket to go and find buried treasure. And the next thing you know, you've gone to school, you've got a degree, you've got a church, you've got kids, you've got responsibilities, and you're bedded down. And before you know it, Jesus will come saying, "Hey, I don't know if you heard, but there's buried treasure around the next corner." And I find myself saying to Jesus, "Before I go, I got a couple of questions. Is there health insurance? A pension? Is the investment going to be returned on my risk? How about seatbelts? I'll just settle for seatbelts these days." Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to those who have the guts to go for it, to go for the gold when they see the treasure, to find it. You know, I'm often haunted by what one of the speakers at one of my graduations from college said. He said, "You know, you can win the rat race, but you'll still be a rat." And it's true, isn't it? It's true. One day we're young and we want to take the world by the tail and twist it. Go out into the woods and set it aflame, and then one day you wake up and you realize you're hitting your middle ages, you're slouched over in an easy chair complaining about how the kids are ruining the world. At least that's what happened to me this week. It changes from that drive for adventure into that tame predictability, and yet Jesus comes along and says, "My kingdom belongs to those who have the guts to go for it, to go for the kingdom." I mean, in fact, it's what Jesus did, isn't it? I mean, he walked up and down the streets and the roads and the riversides and the lakesides of his day, calling people to come follow him. He said, "Come, follow me, and if you follow me, I swear to you, you'll see the heavens open up and the Spirit descend upon you like a dove." He says, "You come and follow me, and you will see the lame begin to walk and the blind receive their sight. Come, follow me, and you'll see hungry people get their fill." And I swear, Jesus says, "You follow me, and eventually you'll see the dead rise again." Oh, but then he tells us what it's going to cost. Nothing short of carrying a cross. But you know what? Some, not many, but some actually followed him. Some left their fishing nets on the shoreline, turned away from the routine of their everyday lives. One accountant even flipped over the tables at the accounting firm in order to follow Jesus. And you and I sit here today. We sit here today in this church because some of those people 2,000 years ago saw the treasure that was in Jesus and did everything they could to reach out and claim it. And friends, let me ask us this morning. A year from now, a year from right now, will somebody be sitting in these pews who isn't sitting here today because you and I had the guts to go for it? How about not just this year, but 5 years from now and 10 years from now? And if we were really kingdom dreamers, we'd say, "Jesus, 50 years from now, somebody will be sitting in the pew today because of the decisions we made to go for your kingdom among us." You know, there's nothing more deadly. There's nothing more deadly than a church that's lost its sense of adventure. Oh, they look like a church. They act like a church. They sing all the songs and they pray all the prayers. And Lord have mercy, they go to all their meetings. But it doesn't take somebody but 2 seconds when they walk through the door for the first time to know, they've lost the sense of adventure. Did you know that a new person who walks through the door of a church will make a decision in 3 to 5 minutes whether they'll come back the next week? They'll make a decision in 3 to 5 minutes whether they'll come back the next week. And that's before they've heard a single song that we've sung, a single prayer that we've prayed. That's long before they've ever heard the preacher preach a single word of the sermon. What is it that makes people say, oh, I'm going to come back and check these people out next week? It's a sense that the church is alive and vital and is plugged into the adventure that God has called them to do. People will figure out very quickly if a church has decided to go for the gold, to go for the treasure, to seek out and find it. In fact, this morning in this place, nine people will stand up here in front of you and I and say, hey, guess what? We stumbled on it. We found it. We found the treasure that is buried here. And at this point in our life and our journey, we are going to do what we can to grab hold of it. We're going to find a place to serve and a way to give, and we want to be a part of it. I hope that you're encouraged by their enthusiasm this morning to throw caution a bit to the wind and say, we don't know exactly where this journey is going to take us, but today we're going to sign on the dotted line. Friends, I've only been your pastor for a few months. But let me tell you what I already know. This place is a treasure. It's a treasure. We have an absolutely incredible opportunity to go for it. Dream with me for a moment about what this sanctuary would look like if it was filled. Not just at this service, but at the next service and the 2 or 3 other services we'd have to plan if this place was teeming. Dream with me for a moment about what this place would look like if the kids of this neighborhood were coming here for tutoring and after school programs during the school year and arts and summer camps during the summer. Dream with me about what it would look like if this neighborhood saw this church as a place it could come to get help when the ends don't meet. What would that look like? See, we are a treasure buried in the field of this neighborhood. And to the best of my knowledge, we are the only church south of Plymouth, north of Chicago, west of Telegraph, east of Inkster. We are and have the opportunity to be the spiritual center of this neighborhood, of this field. We are the buried treasure that the world around us is looking for. And I just want to know, like Jesus wants to know, are we going to go for it? I ask you this morning to dream with me of what it would look like to have this place filled. And then let's go for it and figure out what it's going to take to do it. Dream with me about what it would mean to have a congregation that reflects the diversity of the neighborhood in which we live. And then let's figure out what we need to do and go for it to grab that treasure. Because truth be told, we could chase a whole lot of other things in this world. You know, the worst thing in the world is not getting your goals. Perhaps the worst thing in the world is setting your goals too short and then meeting them. A great preacher by the name of Fred Craddock tells this story, and he swears that it's true. He says one day he was visiting some family friends in Connecticut, and they had a greyhound dog that he watched that whole day play with the kids on the floor. And then when it came time to put the kids to bed, it left Fred and the dog sitting alone in the room, and that's when the dog turned to him and said, "Your first time in Connecticut?" To which Fred said, "No, I've been here before." To which the greyhound said, "You probably heard that I came up from Miami. I used to be a race dog." Which Fred said, "Yeah, I'd heard that, but I heard you're retired." To which the greyhound said, "Oh, is that what they told you? They told you I retired? No, it's not like that. You see, I was a race dog, and I used to race around that track. I used to chase that rabbit all the way around that circle, and I'd get up the next day, and I'd do it again. And he said, and guess what? One day I got close to the rabbit, and I found out that the rabbit was fake. So I didn't retire. He said, I quit. Friends, there's lots of things we could chase. Jesus says, go for the gold. Go for the kingdom. Let's do that together. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we simply ask that you give us the ability to discern the trash from the treasure. And then, Lord, give us the guts to go for it. Give us the guts to go for it so that we can live into the joy of your kingdom present right here, right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.